Welcome to Life Science Today, your source for stories, insights, and trends across the life science industry. I'm your host, Dr. Noah Goodson. This week, gene therapy, minor legislation, a $625 million Series D, and four companies raised $373 million. The views expressed on Life Science Today are those of the host and guests. They do not necessarily reflect the opinions of any organizations with which they are affiliated. Bluebird Bio has received good news. The beleaguered biotech company has watched their stocks fall over the last few years as they pushed the boundaries on the development of gene therapy treatments, but faced numerous challenges and setbacks. Despite their success in obtaining an approval in Europe for their gene therapy Zynteglo, sales never materialized as EU agencies failed to come to pricing agreements for the $1.8 million therapy. In July 2021, Bluebird received further EU approval for Skysona as a second gene therapy. But in October last year, they decided to fully wind down European operations. Then they spun off their entire oncology wing into the newly minted 270 Bio. All of these forward and backward steps have shown the markets are not always gentle to companies pushing forward the world of gene therapy. And it's hard to know what to say. I mean, sure, $1.8 million is a lot for a therapy, but it's also a one-time treatment for people who will die without it. It's also notable that Bluebird invested billions over decades to see these therapies come to reality. So what kind of payout does this investment merit? Anticipating unknown consequences last week, they placed their stocks on hold, pending the release of a vote from the FDA on their gene therapy treatment. The Cellular Tissue and Gene Therapies Advisory Committee of the FDA voted 15-0 that the benefits of Eli-cel, which was approved as Skysona but never sold in Europe, outweighed the risks to treat people with cerebral adrenoleukodystrophy, or CALD. This is not yet an FDA approval, nor does it fully rescue Bluebird and their entire pipeline. But it is a strong endorsement. There are certainly some risks associated with the therapy, but lack of treatment is a known death sentence, and patient advocacy groups played a role in pleading with the FDA. How the U.S. healthcare system will respond to a nearly $2 million therapy is hard to predict, but markets were optimistic, with stocks rising in contrast to a plummeting market Monday. The U.S. House of Representatives has passed Bill H.R. 7667, which supports the FDA in gathering fees from users to support their work in evaluating drug safety. For the most part, the bill maintains the status quo. However, there are some notable sections. One of the changes in the bill is to push for increased accountability around the process of validating accelerated approvals. Currently, companies who receive an accelerated approval are required to show ongoing clinical efficacy. However, they may lack temporal motivation to complete the required studies in a reasonable time frame. Under the new bill, certain provisions may increase the pressure on companies who receive accelerated approval to generate proof of clinical efficacy by having trials underway before approval is granted. While this may disadvantage certain organizations, it really serves to allow for a net increase in rapid approvals, which can then be removed quickly if they lack safety or efficacy. In a world of increasing clinical timelines and costs, anything that truncates delays may provide value. An additional area of note is sections 501 through 505, which have reasonable and flexible requirements for a diversity plan in phase 3 or pivotal studies, as well as in advanced device studies. While a small move to drive health equity, this bill backs recent FDA draft guidance with legislative requirements. It's unlikely the bipartisan bill will see significant changes in the Senate. The biomanufacturing firm Resilience has announced a $625 million Series D. Resilience has been on a fundraising tear, bringing in $600 million less than a year ago. With all this capital, they're building out infrastructure, purchasing manufacturing facilities, and making acquisitions. The capital investments and efficiencies required for advanced bioprocess manufacturing continue to place pipeline strains across the biopharma space. The pandemic and geopolitical pressures together are likely to increase the pressure in the near term for companies to develop in regional proximity, and there remain a wide range of biotech organizations that will need long-term development and manufacturing partners. There are certainly pressures in every industry, but for a company like Resilience, I suspect a key discipline is remaining focused on efficient institution building and targeted customer segmentation more than a lack of market demand. In other words, there's plenty of business. The question is, how well do you execute? In other market times, I'd expect a move to public in 6 months, but in these bear times, it's hard to say where Resilience will head. Now, with over $2 billion raised since 2020, they certainly haven't slowed down with other portions of the market. Four early phase organizations raised $373 million this week. First, Corvia Medical has raised a $54 million internal investment from their existing investors. The funds will be used for a confirmatory trial on their atrial shunt. With a target market of millions, their latest trial in 626 participants showed a 55% improvement in quality of life and 45% reduction in heart failure incidents in those with the shunt compared to sham controls. This next round of funding should see them through research to commercialization and, I suspect, a hopeful sale to a large medical device company. Code Therapeutics has raised a $75 million Series A to develop targeted non-viral gene therapy technologies and specifically move towards IND in their leading assets. Like many gene therapy biotechs, Code combines a platform technology approach with niche rare disease targets. Key to their approach is an attempt to circumvent some of the ongoing immune challenges associated with viral delivery mechanisms. Mineralis has raised a $118 million Series B to advance a clinical stage small molecule inhibitor of aldosterone synthase to treat uncontrolled hypertension. Their phase 1 data showed a strong safety profile. The company is now in a place where meaningful phase 2 data could skyrocket or scuttle their approach. Unlike some other biotechs, this is really a one-trick pony. They have a therapy, it will work or it won't. They are now positioned to ask the question. Finally, Tessa Therapeutics raised a $126 million Series A to advance their clinical stage oncology cell therapies. Their two CAR-T programs are directed at lymphomas, with promising early clinical data, including a 57% complete response rate in one indication. They hope to advance to pivotal studies later this year and will be manufacturing their therapies in their own facility located in Singapore. Thanks for joining me for Life Science Today, your source for stories, insights, and trends across the life science industry. Learn more on lifesciencetodaypodcast.com. And if you like what you hear, please tell a friend. Once again, I'm Dr. Noah Goodson. I'll see you next week.